Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm going to be sharing with you an interview I did with Katie from Now That We Are a Family. They have a podcast, a YouTube channel. She used to operate as Now That I'm a Mother, if you're familiar with that. I had her on the podcast before and I can't remember which one she was at the time. But we're going to talk about a concept I heard on her podcast recently that I found very interesting. And I really wanted to talk about it more with her here on this podcast. And essentially it's just that as homemakers, we actually, instead of having not enough time, a lot of times we think we don't have enough time to get done the things that we want to get done. It's actually that in this modern culture, we have too much time and it's always difficult to figure out how to prioritize because we have so much convenience. There are a lot of extra hours potentially in the day that we end up filling with other things, or there's new expectations placed on us. So it's a very real thing. I'm not being dismissive about it. It's a real modern day problem that I think we've called something else. So I loved that concept, and we're going to chat about that today with Katie from Now That We're a Family.
My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Welcome to the podcast again, Katie. I'm so glad that you're able to join me here. Let's start with introductions for the people who don't know you, who don't follow along, about you, your family, where you and your husband share your content and your podcasts, which is something that I listen to and that we're basing this episode off of, is something that you said in your podcast. So we'll get into that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on. It's an honor to be on here because, yeah, we do podcasts and you're like one of the only podcasters I consistently listen to. I just love your interviews and I love hearing from you directly too. So anyways, I'm excited to do this.
But I'm Katie. I'm pregnant with our fifth baby right now, which is super exciting. I actually think I'm 32 weeks when we're recording this. So I think we're pretty close with our due dates, Lisa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I'm married to Elisha. We've been married for 7 years and host a podcast called Now That We're a Family, where we basically just really want to encourage families. We both came from really big families. So I'm the oldest of 11 children and my husband is the oldest of 10 children. And we thought that was pretty normal growing up. And now we're like, okay, that was an oddity, but not only was that an oddity, but we realized that having a good experience in those kinds of just really big families was not super normal. And so we're really passionate about sharing what our parents did well as we look back and then sharing real time as we try things with our own young children. And yeah, so that's just like, that's our passion. I'm a stay-at-home mother. I also help women create systems to just leverage their time and their energy in the home. And so that they're able to get the things done quickly and efficiently that don't bring them joy and have time to pour into the things that they actually love to do. So that's kind of my passion, because I think that motherhood is something that can feel like drudgery, but it can also feel super fun depending on what you make it.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up a few things. One, I didn't know that you and I were so close in our pregnancy. So you must also be due in July or towards the end of July.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. I guess because probably just based on when we both announced pregnancy, it was just, I never know how many weeks somebody is whenever they're doing that. So that's fun. So yeah, I'm 33 weeks now. So yeah, like just maybe a week ahead is it. So yeah, coming right up, which is weird. And I know that we're going to talk about this over on your podcast, a little bit about pregnancy and whatnot. But I think the weirdest thing for me with this eighth time is I feel like normally I have a lot of anticipation. I'm doing a lot of preparing. And this time it's just, I haven't even thought about it. And so next thing you know, I'm going to be having contractions and then I'm going to have to figure it out, I guess. So yeah, on yours, I think we're talking about like how I'm preparing and it's going to be like, I don't know. I need to do that.
Well, yeah, that's something that I was curious about though, too, because I do feel like it gets to be more and more just like oh, I know what I'm doing, you know, a regular flow of life. So I was kind of curious if that's how it was for you with the eighth, you know, you've done this a lot of times.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, like the regular flow of life to the point of not even hardly thinking about it. And I was talking to a friend of mine who has 10 kids and she said, that's how it always is. So I'm like, at some point it's just, you just have the baby. And I guess then you have to wrap your brain around it. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll get more into it in the next like 6 weeks or so. Hopefully. And I forgot, you actually have your babies early. So you're probably going to have yours before I have mine.
Yeah, we'll see. They could be born at a pretty similar time frame for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, another point you bring up, which I find interesting and that I've noticed, is you said that you thought it was normal to grow up with, you know, 10 kids or 11 kids in the family, but then also having a good experience. And because I'm a mom with a lot of kids, all I get is horror stories from people, to the point where there's most people, I do think they believe that there's no way to have a large family and for the kids to actually enjoy that experience. And I know that you've talked a lot about this over on your channel and how your parents, you know, they didn't have you raise the younger kids. Like so many people think that that's what large families do. So I do find that kind of information very interesting, because normally the perspective I get is that it's just something that kids always hate and resent.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is, I mean, I think whenever you have a big family, the culture's really heightened and your intentionality as a parent just has to go up with each child. And I think most parents probably aren't prepared for that and don't adapt to it. And I love how you're always learning and applying yourself in homemaking and homesteading and with your kids. And you're aware that your intentionality has to go up as you increase your family size. And I think that that's where parents do it really well, instead of parents who just think, we're going to have these babies, and they bring them into the world and think that's what it takes, and then kind of neglect them along the way and don't realize until they're adults, like, oh, we really overlooked a lot of things here.
Yeah. And not to go like too off on a tangent, because this is not what this episode is about, but I definitely think that it can happen just as easily with a smaller family. I think that it's just, you have more criticism whenever it's a large family because it's outside of the norm. So I don't necessarily think that happens anymore with a large family, because I've seen small families where that you have too much going on. And so there's not intentionality either way. So I don't really know if it's the number as much as just that's where the criticism gets thrown.
Yeah, no, you brought up a good point, because for every big family that you see, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of smaller families, maybe hundreds of them, you know?
Yeah.
And so the big family sticks out and it's like on this pedestal for all to see, because it's so obvious and we're watching that family where there's just like a plethora of them that don't, you know, that don't have as many kids. And I definitely think I only see more children when the parents are unified in that decision and excited about that decision being a positive for all the kids involved. Like my siblings, we are still best friends. It's the same for my husband's family. And it's just such a gift to give your children siblings. I think people don't realize that, but when it's done well, there's no negative consequences to that.
Yeah. And you have all those sisters, which is amazing. My poor girls, there's only two of the girls. Well, and you're kind of working on the same thing over in your house.
Yeah. Lucy doesn't have a sister yet. So we'll see if she has one.
Yeah. Taking a break from this episode to tell you about a sponsor that I have been loving for, I think, over a year now. And that is Tubes & Co. Tubes & Co. offers skincare products, cosmetics, that are made from high quality ingredients like grass-fed tallow. So many quality ingredients, nothing bad, no artificial dyes, preservatives, scents. You can trust that everything you get from them has quality ingredients, but then it's also such high quality stuff. In the past, I have had this issue with makeup where I want to look like I'm wearing makeup, I want to have the coverage on my skin, but then I also don't want any of the chemicals that will absorb into the skin. And so I feel like I have to choose between quality and health. And I finally have some makeup that I absolutely love, and that is from Tubes & Co. I've referred. All of my friends and my family are constantly asking me, and we're all Tubes & Co. customers now. I have their liquid foundation. It is by far my favorite foundation I've ever tried, so I just ordered a new one. I love it. I have their mascara. Again, quality, yet actually feel like I'm wearing regular mascara. And then I just now am trying their natural eyeliner, and I've also loved their brow pencil for the longest time. It has this angle on the end, so it makes it really easy, even if you're not a makeup artist, which I am not. And then a brush on one side, so if you need to fill in your eyebrows, it makes it very straightforward. I just this time, for the first time, tried their glow serum. I find that with my skin as I get older, if it's dry, the makeup just cakes on and looks horrible. But if I'm nice and moisturized, my skin looks more youthful. That glow serum is absolutely wonderful. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. So this is a one-time use code. There are some things that you have been really wanting to try out that are natural yet still really effective and won't make you miss your favorite brands of cosmetics or skincare. Definitely also try the tallow balm. You should definitely try Tubes & Co. So head on over to Tubes & Co. That's TOUPS&CO.com and use the code FARMHOUSE to get 10% off your order and try out some wonderful, beautiful, natural and organic skincare. Okay, so the topic that I was listening to you and your husband over on the Now That We're a Family podcast, and at the end of this particular episode, you kind of went off on this rant, so to speak, about how we have not enough time in our homes as homemakers, but actually too much time. And everything you said really was very impactful to me, because I've been trying to articulate that thought for a while, because I've noticed that it doesn't make sense that we're overwhelmed, really, with the way stuff is today. You brought up laundry whenever you were going, I don't even know if it was a planned tangent, but it was, to me, it was like, oh, that was the episode right there. But I thought about this a lot. Like, the main struggle that we have as homemakers, or at least the one that I hear about all the time, is the laundry and like the overwhelm with it. And here, if you could have told some woman 200 years ago that they were going to have these machines where you literally put the clothes in, add the soap, put it over to the next one, it dries, and then the laundry's done, this would not have made sense. So let's just talk about that. The idea that homemakers actually have too much time on their hands, and that is why life's actually harder. It's harder because it's almost too easy, which means that mentally we have a lot to deal with because of that.
Yeah, like you even mentioned the whole laundry concept, and back because it used to be harder to make a garment or have a garment made for you, we had less of them. And so now it's so convenient to go out. We spend our leisure time shopping instead of making this dress, right? And so instead of one item, we come home with five bags from Target for our two children. And now we just created this huge pile because of the convenience of obtaining clothes. And now it's really easy. You know, I think of the whole concept of, there's this quote, someone famous said it, you can Google it, but it is, what is easy to do is also easy not to do. It's really easy to throw in a load of laundry. It's really easy to fold a load of laundry. And so we put it off thinking, oh, we can get to that. We can get to that. I'll do it this other time. And then we have 10 loads piled up. It's super, super daunting. And now we decide to attack it, you know? So there's just so many things in life where convenience has, it's kind of stripped the joy away from doing the task to a certain extent. I'm reading this book right now. It's called We Are What We Eat, a slow food manifesto. And it's specifically about food, but it's saying how convenience and prepping these convenience meals have taken the joy and the beauty and the pleasure and the creativity out of cooking, which is the whole joy of cooking. And so when we strip that away, we don't want to cook. And so we're just going for the quickest, fastest thing to grab. And as a result, our nutrition suffering, and we don't feel real good about ourselves at the end of making that meal. It feels like a total take instead of this fulfilled process that we're going through. But yeah, I really think we get to pick our hard when it comes to motherhood. We've all experienced like doing a project that's complicated or sweaty or emotionally draining. And then at the end, it just felt so good, right? Like I think a lot of us feel that way when we've made sourdough bread, or you have a really good workout, or you tackle this big like painting project, whatever it is, like you're super excited about. It's hard, but you feel so fulfilled and good at the end. And on the flip side of that, I know I've experienced that hard that we experience when we're resisting doing things that are difficult for us. And as a result, life forces its own version of hard on us.
Yeah. I think you bring up a couple of points. One is that because we have things so convenient today, we have the opportunity to pile up a lot of excess that actually then makes even the convenient things hard, which I don't know if we just do that because it's like we like need something harder to do. We need a bigger challenge. And so it just naturally happens. And the other is that we have so much extra time built into our day to think about doing things. Whereas before, just to live, you had to get up and do it, or it wasn't going to get done because it was just a lot harder. Like to make lunch, you had to light a fire, and to do laundry, it was going to take each individual garment. You had to scrub it, put it through a wringer, rinse it. I mean, it was just a whole thing. So you weren't going to have the time to think about doing the thing. I feel like there's just less mental energy devoted to each task because you had XYZ you had to do. And so you got up and you did it. There wasn't time for procrastination, which we have ample time to do now. And then what we end up filling the time with, because we have so much time to procrastinate, we end up filling it with something that's going to be very mentally exhausting. So I guess this is all to say that I don't think people are lying about being exhausted. I don't think that we're, you know, not truthful about it being hard. It's just that the way in which it's hard shouldn't be hard.
Yes, exactly. And it's very mentally hard. And see, hard has its own reward when it's good, when it's fulfilling, right? Like when you get up and you just do what you know you need to do, you feel so good at the end of the day. But most of us, we get up, we put it off, we put it off, we put it off. We fill our time feeling busy doing a bunch of random stuff that doesn't really need to be done, but we're still exhausting ourselves because we do feel bad just taking a true rest. And that's the other thing. We don't know how to truly rest. And then you know, for rest, we get on social media and compare ourselves or compare our homes or feel worse about ourselves, or we go shopping and see all the stuff we don't need or can't purchase, or, you know, like we're just expending all this mental and emotional energy doing nothing that gives back. Whereas when you put yourself and you know, get a big project done, or, you know, you like look at Little House on the Prairie and the whole like making everything they were doing, like churning the butter, or, you know, you do that for 2 hours, you feel great about yourself. You've got one lump of butter that now we just can go pick up at Walmart. But like you have that and you feel so fulfilled and accomplished and like, that was worth my effort.
Yeah. You have that satisfaction because now for the rest of the week, you have butter. I think the reason that we have this problem is because we don't have to make butter. And I'm really glad we don't. I actually love making butter, but I have a blender. And so it does not take me 2 hours or longer. Have you ever tried actually churning? I have this little gadget that you turn. It's impossible. I never even got to whipped cream. And so I'm so thankful for my blender. But I guess the challenge, because I do like making butter, but it's no big deal. The challenge is figuring out, what do I now do with the time that I would have spent churning butter? So that way I have the same feeling of satisfaction with the modern convenience of being happy that I can either A, go buy the butter from the store, or B, churn it in my blender, which means that I press a button, walk away, do something else, come back, and it's butter. So figuring out how to fill that time and have that mental satisfaction is our modern challenge, which is a legitimate challenge. Is that how you see this as well? And if so, how have you figured out how to fill that?
Yeah. So it's a completely reverse problem, but it is good. I love how you pinpoint this is the problem. We actually need more to do. And again, I'm going to fall back on a cliche quote that I think is so good. And it's that if you have something that needs to get done, give it to a busy person. Busy people don't have time to sit around. They just get it done. Like you said, they don't think about it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I would really encourage anyone who's home, especially a homemaker that is home throughout their entire day, to, I mean, you need a big hobby. You need a big interest, something that is stimulating you intellectually, something that's going to force a deadline. Like even, you know, getting up today, having this podcast interview, the only time I could do certain things to prepare for the day was at 5:30 this morning. So I had to get up. It wasn't like it was this option because that's the only time that I had. But when you only have, you know, Friday afternoons to do the laundry, then you do it because otherwise no one has any clothes the rest of the week. So I think we have to create those deadlines for ourselves. We have to create those interests for ourselves. And then I think intentionally making life harder on ourselves can really help too. You know, some ways that we've made life intentionally harder in our home is one way is we have one car. So I can't go everywhere that sounds good in the moment, and that's intentionally inconvenient. But what's nice about it is I don't spend my energy loading up the kids and unloading the kids and getting exhausted doing that all the time, or just being overcommitted. It's really easy to be like, oh, I can't go. I don't have the car. Yeah. I think something else is you know this, but we have flip phones in our home, and that's intentionally harder than a smartphone. But as a result, when I rest, I read or I nap or I sit in the sun. You know, like it takes away a lot of those things. Not having social media, not having screens for kids. That's another thing where it might be like, oh, well, that's harder. Well, it starts out harder, but then it gets easier because that convenience of having a screen always on for our kids actually makes them more stimulated and harder to deal with and less fun to be around. So I don't know, just going through and thinking through, what are some ways I can challenge myself here, give myself less opportunity in my life and make life harder so that it's actually easier in the long run? And I'm doing more things that come with true soul fulfillment. Like cooking a really good meal comes with true fulfillment, or having a really well-cleaned home instead of just barely getting by. But I would say if those things aren't motivating to you, if homemaking in and of itself isn't motivating to you, then like, I don't know. I mean, there's always opportunities to serve other people, bring someone else a meal or commit to watching their kids for the day. It'll make your kids seem really easy, or start a business.
Yeah. I could think of a list a mile long of things I would do with an open day. That's always the problem. If you somehow give me an hour, I'm like, okay, which of my 500,000 interests should I fill this hour with? And usually I have my day. I have a very specific list, and it's not super long because I can only realistically fit in so many things with all the other things like the kids and the food. But there's always a list, and I feel like I know at this point how to navigate that. But what about the new mom who doesn't know how to fill the day? I know when I first had my first baby, I was bored. I was overwhelmed, but I was also bored. Like I did not know what to do with the time I had. And so until probably about my third or fourth, when I really started to get my stride in figuring out how to have a productive day at home with kids, I did park days. And not that there's anything wrong with any of this, but I had to fill my days somehow. So we would get in the car, we'd go up to Walmart, and we'd go to every store in town and shop there, or I'd walk 4 miles with the kids in the stroller. I did this kind of stuff every day just because I ultimately did feel bored. And I think too, there needs to be a distinction between overwhelmed and difficult, but also not really not also intellectually stimulated, because I think people are like, well, wait a minute, how do you get stuff done with kids around? That's a challenge at first, and you figure that out. But what are some of your tips for that? Figuring out how to fill the day, how to do things with kids around. Because I think we get these ideas in our head, like, I can't do this until there aren't any kids around. They can't be here while I'm doing this thing. And the truth is, they totally can. You can get so much done with kids right there in the same room as you. And maybe it was easy for you because you had little siblings, or maybe it wasn't. What was that like for you, and what are your tips?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think it's really important. I followed this rule for a long time when I had my little toddlers, and I still do it for the most part. But that is working when my children are awake and resting when they rest. And that just kind of kept me in a better flow because, and when I say rest when they rest, that means do something that I want to do. That doesn't mean like I'm scrolling social media, or maybe I'm taking a nap if I'm pregnant or something like that. But it means like something truly restful, like being creative can be restful, writing something, working on a project that you actually want to work on. Those can be restful things, mm-hmm. but getting the tasks like housework, like I always have done laundry and dishes and cleaning when my kids are awake, and they learn that, mm-hmm. hey, you are welcome to be here and help mommy. Meaning I don't care if you pull out all the silverware from the dishwasher and throw it on the ground or put it in the drawer or whatever, I'll pick it up. That's not a big deal. If that entertains you for an hour and I'm able to get this whole project done, that's great. So they are more than welcome to be around at any age, but then mama's not entertaining you at this time. So self-entertain, go do something, have fun. And that's just kind of always mm-hmm. how I've run my home, and my children have always done that. They just engage themselves. If they want to be engaged, this is what we're doing. I'm not doing a special craft or special activity or whatever with you. Right. I think sometimes we feel like in order to be present for our kids, we have to be doing something like age appropriate with them per se, or specific to them. And mm-hmm. that's just not the case. Yeah. Like being present is just having a conversation or just being there in the same room with them and not having technology around with the kids. They love that. So anyways, that's kind of how I managed getting stuff done with little children. But I think when it comes to, I think a lot of us have forgotten how to dream and have goals. And if we have time, we don't know what to do with it. If you have one baby and it's not just maxing you out, what an incredible opportunity. Like, you're never going to have this much time again in your life.
The problem is you think it's maxing you out at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole conundrum with that.
Exactly. But you want to leverage every hour that you have, and you take that with you when you have the two kids. You're really motivated to figure out, okay, how do I make this work so I could keep the things going that I want to keep going? How do I do this with three kids? And so I think for me, something I have women do in the Get It All Done Club is write down a list of 100 things that they want to do, be, or have. And that just kind of helps get you opened up to like, okay, what do I want out of life? Do I just want to exist with my baby? Is that what I'm here for? Is just to like get through the day and keep everyone fed? Like, that's not real motivating in a 21st century lifestyle.
I will say for some people it is. I know a few people personally who that is how they feel like they had a great day, is like sitting on the floor playing with the toys. But I am definitely not that personality. It's not me. If you try to fit me in that box, I can't do it. And so there's also that guilt of not being like the other women who are cool with just stopping and playing with the kids all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is addressed to that bored mother. Like,
yes.
Boredom is not something that, like, we should be fulfilled and actively participating in our lives. And it's funny, I've never had time for play dates. I've never had time for like those types of things that always, I was always shocked, I guess, when my friends would be like, oh, we're all getting together at the park. And I'm just like, I have so many things I'm doing, but I felt so fulfilled in what I was doing. There's nothing wrong with going on a play date if that brings you joy and you want that social, you know, outlet and all those things. I'm more introverted, so that's just like natural for me.
Yeah.
But
I like the play dates. I like structure my days so that like tomorrow we'll be play dating all day. We're play dating right after this. Like, after the podcast with you and then the one on your channel, we're doing that. So yeah, like there's definitely like different approaches to this.
Yeah. And if that is bringing you excitement and you're loving it and it's fulfilling, it's fun for your kids and fun for you, then that's a win activity, right? You aren't feeling bored or like you're just existing in that moment. You're doing something fulfilling. And so it doesn't have to be work related, but I do think that if we're feeling bored, the sooner we get out of that, the better, because it's just not going to serve us long-term in our lives. What we do when we're bored is we like eat food we shouldn't, watch things we shouldn't, spend time on things we shouldn't, have gossip where we shouldn't. It just leads to like unhealthy behavior long-term.
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely in the camp of bored mom. I mean, I've always had hobbies, but it took me a while to figure out how to do them with the kids. And then my sister was the same way when she had her first baby. It was just, she was so bored. Like if I'm high energy, she's double. Like she just can get done in a day, like what 12 people could get done in a day. And so all of a sudden you stuck her at home. That was all she had to do. And she was like, somebody give me something to do. And so that's when I started my business. And then I was like, you should try this. Then she started it, hit the ground running. And then, you know, her husband quit his job too. But like, that was her biggest problem. Like she was a better mom and she's a great, great mom. Like she does stuff with the kids all day long, but she needed something else in addition to that. And I think that we don't hear about that much. All we ever really hear about is just, you know, you're home all day and it's just the kids are driving you nuts and you can't get anything done because there's always kids. And we never really hear about people that actually have a capacity. And I think most people do have a capacity to mother the children and do something else too. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do. And almost there's this guilt associated with that. Like it almost feels wrong to say that, yeah, I was kind of bored. Like I needed more to fulfill me.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a high capacity and you know you aren't meeting that capacity, then that's not very fun. And again, if that capacity is being, you know, if we're up to our eyeballs and doing things like moving piles around the house because we have so much junk that we just like move it to this room, move it to that room, move it to that room. Yeah. That took all our capacity that day. And like, that does not feel good. You know, we want to see progress. I think that's something as homemakers we want to see. We want to see like, we don't want to feel like we're stuck in this circle of we get up every week and we do the exact same things and we're just going round and round and round and round. We want that like, okay, I did something that like I cleaned a room that's not going to get dirty again. You know, like you do the dishes and they get dirty again. You do the dishes and they get dirty again. And that's a part of life, but we need those quantifiable wins too, where we could go to bed and be like, I did something today that's not getting undone that I feel really good about.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a break from this episode to tell you about today's sponsor, Carly Jean Los Angeles. Carly Jean Los Angeles is a capsule wardrobe company based out of LA, of course, started by a mom of four named Carly Jean. I've actually had the chance to meet her. She's a wonderful lady, and I love the collections and clothing that she designed and continues to design with new launches. There's always something beautiful. The CJLA mission is to simplify getting dressed and help women feel beautiful in every season of life with clothing that's classic, timeless, meant to be lived in. It's not just for pieces that are worn once and then never worn again. I wear my CJLA pieces everywhere from to a wedding reception, to church, to date night, to around the house with my apron on. So they work in all of those different occasions, but they also work in different seasons of life. So pregnancy, nursing, postpartum, and none of those. I find lots of things on Carly Jean. I actually really love their denim. And I've just been getting through this entire pregnancy by using a little belly band with my Carly Jean jeans, which makes it very flexible to my current stage of life. With the capsules, Carly Jean has done the hunting for you and provides clothes that are effortless, easy, and flattering in all different shapes, sizes, ages, seasons of life. I like that when I look into my closet, I have this nicely curated wardrobe for each season. I take the time to stock my current seasonal pieces. So that way it's a very straightforward process to get ready in the morning. I don't have a lot of time to put my outfit together, but I do like to look nice. All the CJLA basics are made right here in the US. So I love supporting small companies like this. Carly Jean Los Angeles is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 20% off the entire site. This is a one-time use code, farmhouse20. So again, use the code farmhouse20 over at carlyjeanlosangeles.com. See if there's something on Carly Jean that you're going to love this summer. So you've mentioned a little bit about simplicity. Like earlier you were saying the laundry problem's harder because now we have, you know, clothes are cheaply made. It's very easy to get piles and piles of clothes. It's not difficult to do. We don't have to sew them. So then laundry's a problem. And then if you're moving around piles all day, that's something you're doing, but you're really not feeling good about it because there's still piles. So how have you minimized the clutter? How do you structure your house so that you have less unnecessary stress? And this is so important. And I think we gloss over this a lot of times. But what has that done for you in your home?
Yeah, so simplifying things in our home has been really crucial because, again, I had my first three. They were two and under for 6 months. So we had a lot of little
wow,
ones.
That's a close gap.
Yeah, and so I was doing everything for them and no one could do anything for themselves. And so I'd say this is really easy when your kids are little and they have less opinion. But something that I did is, and that we still do, is they have two pairs of shoes. So they have a dress pair of shoes and then either a winter boot, or in the summer they have a dress pair of shoes and a Converse sneaker. And that's just what we do because they go with every single mm-hmm. outfit and they always know where they're at. They're easy to organize. And when you have a lot of kiddos, my oldest is starting to get more into shoes. And I'm just kind of like, well, we just aren't going to do that this year. Maybe next year he wants his flip-flops and he wants his running shoes and all that. And I'm like, these work for now. When he's able to manage his own stuff, then he can have more stuff.
Yes, when they can manage it.
But if mommy's managing all
right.
of it,
yeah, that's our
this is
too.
Yeah, this is what it's going to be. I think other things like, okay, they only have one jacket and they wear that jacket all year. And again, we live in like a four season type of climate, but that's just what we stick to. And I know it goes with everything and I'm not having arguments with like, no, the pink unicorn coat doesn't go with the brown dress, you know? It's just like, I know the coat's going to go with everything. Obviously having less stuff is, you know, only having eight outfits for the kids, having less stuff, just you move piles a lot less, which is great. But how do you know what to declutter? I think that can be hard too. And I really like to reverse declutter, meaning like I take everything out of my kiddo's closet, put in the eight outfits and put the rest. Either if you can't get rid of it, you can put it in a bin. I just throw it away or donate it.
Right. At least then it's not getting shuffled through all the time.
Yeah. But just like instead of thinking, okay, they like this, they like this, what should I get rid of? Maybe take everything out and think, what should I keep? And once you hit that max, then just everything else is a no. So you aren't having to say no to each individual item. For me, that can get really hard. But something else that's really helped is having 2-minute tidy spaces. So that means a space that you can tidy in 2 minutes if everything is out of the drawers. So mm-hmm. if I take all the toys out and all the books out in my living room, throw all the throw pillows on the ground, can I tidy this in 2 minutes? And mm-hmm. You can't do this with your whole home at once, but I would say do it with the living space, like do it with either your kitchen or with your living room and then maybe your bedroom. But have one other space in the house where it's like, you know, that it's a 2-minute tidy. I think often we think 10-minute tidy, but when you actually pull everything out, that's going to take you 10 minutes to clean up, to your brain, it looks like a 2-hour disaster.
Yeah.
And so it's really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I think that's been really helpful too with our kids' rooms. It was working so well for me. I did that with our children's rooms. And if you pull everything out of your child's closet and drawers, and because that's what they do, they take everything out and then think, okay, is this overwhelming for me to put away? Because if it is, that's going to be very, very overwhelming for your child. Mm-hmm. So you kind of need to strip it down and then slowly build back up based on what they can maintain.
Yes. Like my older girls, they have a lot more possessions, but their room is not my problem. It's just not. They can manage it. It's clean. It's fine. If it becomes a disaster, then I guess we have to take away some things. But I used to spend, in my earlier years of motherhood, I would say probably an hour a day cleaning up from the day. And I hear a lot of people's routines. I love listening to homemaking stuff and tips. And people will say, like, okay, we always spend an hour at this certain time cleaning up. And I'm at a point now where you almost can't destroy my house that bad that it would take an hour. There have been times where we've had several kids over and had like a massive play date, and that takes an hour to clean the whole house up from, but that's the whole house. So making your home to where it's that easy to clean up pretty much no matter what people have done to it is a game changer. It seems like maybe something that's just kind of like, well, yeah, that would probably be nice. No, it's really nice because I remember how much time I used to spend. And then another thing with the laundry, in the wintertime, we have to fold and put away laundry because the clothes are so bulky they can't fit. But in the summer, because we have a two-story house and a lot of the clothes go upstairs, what we end up doing is it goes from washer to dryer to two baskets. Well, towels go away and like certain things, of course. But then we have two baskets, one for the upstairs clothes, one for the downstairs clothes. And honestly, it's rare that they even get put away because unless it's overflowing the basket, we just pull out of it and keep wearing so that everybody's clothes are on the main level. So if a kid has an accident or something, there's clothes right there. And so we even have our clothes so minimal, so simple that we don't even really have to put laundry away. Now it will get every once in a while, like if everything ends up making its way through the laundry, this one basket for seven kids is full and we'll have to put clothes away. But that doesn't even happen probably once a week.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah. So, and I know that so many people are listening to this and being like, I wish my house was like that, but it's daunting to even get our homes to a place where it's mm-hmm. like that, yeah. right? We just look around and are paralyzed by like, but I have so much stuff. Like, where do I start? And I think I see, you know, a lot of YouTubers, I started realizing, oh, they're doing a decluttering video. They're doing another decluttering video. They're doing another decluttering video.
You just keep doing it. Nonstop. Yes,
you have yep. to do it nonstop. And I think I realized mm-hmm. two things that really helped me. One is, again, going back to that, just do one space at a time. Like you can just take everything out of your living room, make it a 2-minute tidy zone. And if you can't handle like sorting through, making all the decisions, shove it in a closet somewhere else. And eventually you could go through that closet and make it a 2-minute tidy. Like my whole house is a 2-minute tidy place now, but we yeah. started with two rooms.
Right, right.
And then I think the other thing is going back to when it comes to decluttering, if it's doing whole house declutters, if it's happening over and over and over and over, we might have a different root issue. And that is we can get rid of stuff, but we're buying stuff. Mm-hmm. And the root is that we're bringing too much into our home. And for me, that was really solved by buying higher quality items because I was less motivated to throw it out at a whim. I was less motivated to buy it. And then it just, you know, you can only buy so many high quality items.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just like go have bags and bags and bags of stuff you're bringing into your house that's like $5, $10.
Yeah.
At one time.
Yeah. And you know, you don't even necessarily have to. Sometimes my strategy in a year is to buy five just whatever types of outfits. And then by the end of the year, they're not even worth donating because they have been worn, you know, once a week. Each one of those outfits have been worn once a week. They're really not looking so good. Usually by the time it's time to swap into the cold weather clothes after warm weather, we have a few things that are worth putting into the bin to save. But most of it's just like, all right, let's start fresh. And we're just going to get five just inexpensive outfits to get us through the next season. And it makes it really, really simple. And like you said, it's a constant process. I feel like I'm really good at this by now because I look at everything with a very like, okay, how many times do I want to pick that item up before that thing is just literally costing me time that I could be putting into something more fulfilling. And so it's a very constant thing. But even me, the other day, I realized that my kitchen cabinets had just gotten away. Like there were too many, like the butter churner thing I was telling you, there was a bunch of things in there that I'm like, oh, that would be cute for a reel. And then I realized how hard it was to do it. And so just little things like that have to go. And I think also people are worried about it. It feels like the whole sunk cost fallacy where because you already own it, getting rid of it is wasting money. But you're saying that you look at things differently to even buy when your home is more simple. I'm for sure that way. I'm like, yeah, but do I really want to have to shuffle that around the garage? Like, that's something that Luke and I talk about. Like, that thing would be cool, but then it's going to be another thing sitting in the garage. And so you start to actually, I think, spend a lot less money whenever you start simplifying your house like this.
Yeah, I loved all that you said there. My mom said something that really stuck with me. And she said, anything you bring into your home becomes a management issue. So like, do you want to spend time managing that item and maintaining it? And I think this is one area where convenience has again made our life hard. Like, we bought the little egg slicer because it was going to make slicing our eggs or avocados easier, right? And now we have tons of kitchen gadgets and tons of stuff jammed in our drawers, and it's just overwhelming. Where if we just used a knife for everything, we'd be just fine, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I have this certain masher thing that every time I open my drawer, it's too big and it gets stuck. And I still haven't gotten rid of it because I feel like I like it for mashed potatoes, but I'm like, do I really? Because the mashed potatoes all get kind of stuck in it. And so why not just a fork? And yes, maybe that like few times, like maybe once a month when I make mashed potatoes, it's slightly more effort to take the fork and go like this. But like every single time I open my cabinet, that masher thing gets stuck. And so even that little item
we can all relate to that.
Stress. Yeah, like that item brings me stress every day just so that maybe once a month when I make mashed potatoes, I don't have to expend some, you know, fork effort. Like, what in the world? It doesn't make sense.
I know. I love that, though. That's like, that's so relatable. I love also your concept of just wearing clothes out. I hate going to donate things because it's just an extra trip. It's not like on my, I don't know, it's not like in my pattern of life is to go donate stuff. Again, I don't have a car, so it's like really annoying to have to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's even harder.
So I love that concept of just wearing stuff out. And that is my goal, is to have enough clothes for the season just so that they're in rags by the end of the season. I could throw them out and get new clothes and just call it good. You know, all the kids' boots were 9 months into their boots. They all have holes. I'm like, great, let's make it two more months through the summer. We're buying all new boots. I'm throwing these all out. I'm not, especially with a lot of kids, you don't want to store all that stuff in your bins in your garage. I don't know. I don't like that either.
And I have to be convinced that certain items actually last longer because they're more expensive. I hear this all the time. It's something that I'm sure I've said, but don't you feel like it still wears out? Just like everything you have, no matter what, no matter the price, it still wears out. And then you have to be in this habit of, yes, this was $100, but it's not working. Or like I have, you know, you have the issue where something like a vacuum, one little part of it breaks and then it's not really usable, but it's like, but it's still really good. Other than that, well, you're not going to fix it. You're just not. And so I've really gotten better about being in the habit of just ruthlessly like, nope, I know myself. I know the inventory in this house. We can't do this. And those are all things that you get, I do think you get better with over time, but it's definitely something to strive for because it does make life so much easier. Like the kids cannot destroy my house to a point of now I need to be home cleaning all day.
Yeah, which is incredible. Like you don't give your home the opportunity to get there. It just can't.
No, I can't. I just can't. There's too much other things going on. Too many other things I'm interested in. One thing that has been very helpful for me in my from scratch kitchen is a grain mill. Recently, actually probably a year ago now, I upgraded to the Mock Mill because of its beautiful design. It has this wood finish. It's very thin. It doesn't have a bowl with it. So you can take any bowl that's laying around your house, depending on how much flour you want to make. So it's not this bulky thing always sitting there. And I absolutely love it. It makes it to where I have it always accessible. I can grab some whole grains, throw it in really fast while I'm busy in the kitchen, which is what has always stopped me from milling grains very often before. I've been experimenting with kamut, einkorn, spelt, rye. I like to do my basic no-knead sourdough recipe and then throw in about a fourth of the flour in some other grain. It doesn't alter the recipe very much. It makes it to where it's still very palatable. It's fluffy and delicious, but then we also have that added whole grain. Sourdough starters are also very happy being fed with whole grain flours. And so having a mill is just a very nice addition to a from scratch or a homestead kitchen. Mock Mill is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners a 5% off discount using my link, bit.ly/farmhousemockmill. Again, that's bit.ly/farmhousemockmill, all lowercase. I've had some people say that they didn't see the discount applied. It will be once you go through the entire checkout process. There's no coupon code required. Once you get to the final stages of checkout, you will see that there is that 5% applied. Again, I couldn't recommend the Mock Mill more. Head to bit.ly/farmhousemockmill. It'll also be linked down in the show notes or description box. Okay, so we have a few homemaking questions that people have that I thought we'd go through before jumping off this episode and heading over to your podcast that I'm going to interview on. What are some things that you have tried in homemaking and quit doing? So we talked about minimizing the house. Are there certain things that you're like, this is not worth it? Maybe it's not fulfilling. Maybe it's just not your thing.
Oh, that's a good question. What are some things I've tried in homemaking and quit doing? I mean, aside from like dusting, which I should be doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, dusting. I don't really do that either.
It's just such a bummer. Because I feel like when I started out, I wasn't very good at homemaking. So I didn't really do much of it. And then as...
So you're probably at, in the more like adding stage.
I feel
still,
like I've been like adding. Subtracting. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I didn't really think that through. One thing I will say is that maybe a couple years, we had someone come in and clean the house once every other week because I felt like I couldn't keep up with certain things. And I realized that we clean like the obvious spaces all the time just because we live in them, whether there's somebody who's coming in and like sweeping up what's left or not. And the things that really were like blowing my mind were like, okay, I need the toilets cleaned. You know, those things that maybe you don't think of every single day. And I've discovered that it just doesn't take that much time to clean a toilet. Like whenever I'm taking the kids to the bathroom, I'm just like quickly cleaning all the toilets whenever I'm in there. And so that's something we've given up doing. I've just like, I've gotten better at delegating things. I think it was probably a really busy season that I felt like we needed that. And then now I'm like, it's just not that hard to stay on top of with a few habits. Other than that, there's things like I make milk kefir, but I don't make water kefir. I do make water kefir some, I know how to do it, but it's not always on my counter like milk kefir. There's certain ways that I try to like have the same effect. So we get the probiotics, but I'm not making every ferment. I'm not making kombucha and fermented carrots. We almost always have sauerkraut, yogurt, and kefir and sourdough bread. And so yeah, there's lots of things that I've tried and learned, and then they don't really stick as a regular part of our
habit. I feel like when I was this stage pregnant with my last baby, so I was in my third trimester, I had some back pain. And so we had a house cleaner come and she cleaned the toilets and the tubs. And it took her so long that I was like, this is not worth it. Like, I guess it equated like when I saw like how long it was taking her, how much it was costing me. I was just like, I could do this. You know, it helped me get over my like, it's so hard to clean these toilets and tubs. And it was just like, you know what? I could bust down 10 minutes. We're good to go. It was free.
Exactly. Yes. I think that happens with so many things in homemaking. We build things up in our head so much that are just not that big of a deal. Like I see this happen all the time with some things like sourdough, for example. People like that just, they'll see my video and they're like, but how do you have time for sourdough? I'm like, sourdough takes like 10 minutes of my active time. It's not a time thing. Like you commenting that took longer than the sourdough, but I understand because I do it with so many things. This like I even do that with sourdough where I'm like, oh, I forgot I wanted to make that brioche tomorrow and I got to get up and put the stuff in the mixer. And it takes me 5 minutes to put the stuff in the mixer, but still you build it up in your head. You think about it for 5 straight minutes or longer. And it's never the action of doing it is actually near as bad as you're building it up for yourself.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually just talking to my husband about this today, because I have these beans on the counter that I want to pressure can. And I haven't pressure canned since I was like 15 living at home. I never have done it on my own. And so I'm like, oh, I've had these on my counter for like 3 days. And I was like, it reminds me a lot of sourdough, because it took me so many months to start sourdough because the mental burden of it. But once you go through making one loaf, you're like, oh, I know how to do this. I just work it in my everyday life. Like canning beans is super, super simple. But like, I have to remember like what pressure to do it at, how long, all the details. Yes. And like the mental burden is hard. And so I think of that with a lot of things in our homemaking. We can look at a woman who seems to do so many things and be like, how does she do it? And really, we just have to start taking steps, because once we do one thing, it's easy. Like someone who is really good at freezer meals, like they just do it. It's just like not a big deal. Or someone who, I don't know, whatever the case may be, whatever homemaking task that may be.
Yeah.
It's really easy once you've done it a few times.
It is. And once you get into the habit of doing something, and you can't get into every habit all the time, but there are a handful of habits that if you just do 3 or 4 times, you can do them like you're brushing your teeth. Like it's not something that's going to require any mental energy. You could have on a podcast while you're doing it, because it's no brain work involved. It's just you putting the thing together. I like collecting those types of things together in my home, because I can move through my day without any of the mental exhaustion. I think that's kind of the whole full circle moment of this podcast episode, because That is why we as modern women are so exhausted. It's not the actual task, because everything in our lives have made that easier. All of the conveniences, we really have the best of every world. It's just we're kind of plopped in here and expected to figure out like how to navigate through that. And I think the truth is, it just takes time. It takes figuring out systems. Everybody always wants, like, that's what the rest of these questions are. What are your systems for this? What are your systems for that? In some ways, like, yes, there are very helpful things that you can share and I can share and other moms can share. But ultimately, it's just getting up and figuring out and trying those things.
Yeah, it's the repetition. And just doing it over and over. You know, I think of like cooking, like I think that's why I enjoy cooking now, where I didn't before. Every meal was like this daunting
big thing.
Oh my goodness, I've got to follow this recipe and I'm going to mess it up. And people who love to cook, I think they love to cook because they're able to get away from all that. They've done it so many times. They know that the Alfredo sauce tastes good and needs a little splash of that and a little thing of this. And they aren't like going through the mental effort of checking every box and checking the temperature and the right measurements of everything. And, you know, and so I don't know. I think it's like that in so many areas of life. Like you said, it's a full circle moment.
Yes. Like you said, though, like the Alfredo sauce, if I were to make Alfredo sauce 15 years ago, when I first got married, I would have had to get out the recipe, turn off the music, you know, think this through. I need to follow every step. And now I could have the music blasting, like cheese in here, some cream, maybe a little flour, maybe a little garlic, taste it, a little salt. Like it's fun because I know what I'm doing. And so many people, you're just in your earlier stages of this, or maybe you're not, like maybe you've been a homemaker for a while, but the overwhelm has stopped you from starting on things. Either way, it all gets easier over time. So that's the encouragement in this episode. So tell everybody where they can find you, your podcast, your YouTube, your Get It All Done Club, and where they can best follow along.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything is linked on nowthatwe'reafamily.com. This is how it looks. The sign behind me, if you're on YouTube, minus the apostrophe. We just have to have bad grammar with this now that we're a family. Yes. Anyways, our podcast on YouTube is Now That We're a Family. We also have a family YouTube channel that is Now That We're a Family. So I guess I go and make everyone confused. Our podcast channel is Now That We're a Family podcast. The YouTube family is just Now That We're a Family.
Yeah, I actually figured that out today because I was trying to go back and listen to the episode that I had listened to that sparked this episode idea. And I was on Now That We're Family.
It's
and I'm
not
like,
here.
Where's the podcast? And I'm like, oh, it's the podcast. And then I found it. I figured it all out. But yeah, it's the podcast.
Yeah, so it's kind of confusing. But the Get It All Done Club is linked over on nowthatwe'refamily.com. And it really just, again, is a place where I help women go from where they feel like they're drowning in motherhood to really feel like they're thriving and loving motherhood. And we also have other family programs over there as well, just encouraging you in setting up those systems, helping your husbands even set up systems to be leaders of the home. I don't teach that.
Yeah.
Strengthen your marriages and just a homeschooling course and just things to help support you and your family as you're parenting and mothering.
Awesome. We'll also leave links down in the show notes. Thanks again so much, Katie, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
All right. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this great discussion with Katie. Make sure to check out all the links down in the show notes or the description box, depending on where you're listening or watching, to follow along with Katie and her husband. They always are sharing such encouraging things for parents, homemakers. I think that you're really going to enjoy the podcast and YouTube channel. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.